trying to jingle my eyes.
Did it come through the straw?
To make a sound effect. I don't know where that came from. Oh my god, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
It's not gonna stain, is it?
Oh god, no. I don't think it would. It's just a wee bit, anyways.
It's all over me. Guys, I was trying to give you a nice soundscape to introduce you into the episode. Hi, welcome to 20-somethings podcast. I'm a mess. I have like a nice frilly tropical drink with a little umbrella in it. So I was just trying to like create the ambiance, but I spilt everywhere all over Nathan and Cece's nice new couch. Darla's here as well. And Cece is here joining me again. Say hello, Cece.
Hello, everybody.
She's going to be nice and loud this episode.
Yes, I'm ready.
No one can be louder than me. Like, I don't have a turn down dial. Darla, that's not going to work, honey. This is a mess already.
She's like, but my mom.
I know. She's very attached to me ever since her father left her. And I'm a single mother now. Speaking of being a single mother, we're going to talk about exes today and just like all the complicated, I don't know, like the impact of an ex or like lingering issues with exes or maybe getting back together with exes and just how it can really be very damaging to your life sometimes, or it can actually be very fulfilling if you manage to have like a positive connection with your ex or a positive relationship. And I am very passionate about this topic because I am notoriously known for being overly potentially kind to my ex-boyfriends. I'm pretty sure I have gone back and given every single ex-boyfriend a second chance. I kid you not. I'm just like a sucker for like, I don't know whether it's like I like a redemption story or whether it's because I just really want to see the best in people or whether it's just because I don't want to take like the time and effort to invest in like a whole new person.
Yeah. So it's I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. So it's like kind of, I'm comfortable with you. I know all your red flags. And even though those red flags are still there, like,
and they give me the ick, I'm past it.
So I think typically like 90% of the time going back to an ex is a bad idea. But I do think there's the odd situation where it actually is exactly maybe what somebody needs to take some time apart, learn, come back together. And you do hear, you know, the odd love story of couples breaking up for a time and coming back together. So I want to kind of talk about the pros, the cons, the positive stuff, the negative stuff. And Cece says she has a lot to say on this topic, so I'm excited to get into it.
Yes, and this topic is very fitting because I was telling you earlier that I ran into my ex today and I did not like it. I mean, it was fine, but I still get that feeling like when you see them that I got shot in the eyeballs. Like, I'm like, oh, shoot. And nothing bad. Literally, but nothing bad even happened between us. But I still, like, it's still that pit in your stomach that you're like, oh, not fun.
Yeah.
And we were both in other relationships. Like, I was with Nathan. He was with his girlfriend. Yeah. But it still is like, oh, so weird.
I'm literally a psychopath. Like, every time I'm like, I want to see an ex today. Like, I just live for the drama. I live for the tea. And I think part of the reason I feel this way is because all of my exes, I kid you not, except for one, live overseas in the UK. So it's like, I know.
Oh, it's thrilling then.
It's thrilling. I know I'll never see them. So if I ever do see them, it will be like a Nicholas Sparks movie because it'll just be like, oh my God, like long, long lost lovers. And not even just the fact that I want to get back together with them. It's like, I just never got closure with like any of my exes except for the one who lives in Canada who like I see all the time and we have a good relationship. But like, I never really got closure with the majority of my exes and they are so far away and it's just like a whole other world, a whole other time in my life that's so separate from who I am in Canada. So I do romanticize, I think, like my exes a lot in the UK and just sort of think about, I don't know, if I were to see them again, like I'm such a different person now and they're probably such different people. And I think it's normal to have those thoughts and those questions, even if you are happy, even if you have moved on, even if you, it's still natural to creep your ex once in a while. It's natural to think, have dreams about your ex, like, and people demonize this stuff so much, like, and that's kind of what I want to dig into today is like, why is our exes just such an uncomfortable thing for people? And it's such a taboo thing. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think Because, well, I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think I can relate to the whole I want to see my ex and, like, talk to my ex and get back together with my ex.
Nobody can.
But
I don't want
to... Sorry.
I don't want to... Okay, I just have to clarify this. I don't want to get back together necessarily. I want them to rue the day that they lost me. I want them to beg for my forgiveness and, like, shower me with compliments and love. And then I want to be able to make whatever decision I'm comfortable with. But I'm not, like, desperate to get them back. It's just, like, I want to be chased. That's what this situation is. Yes, there's, like, real feelings there. I'm not saying I'm just, like, interested in attention. But I think a lot of it is just wanting to get some sort of redemption after being heartbroken. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Like.
That makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, I always come
out on
top.
But that's how I think of you. I don't think of you as, like, well, the nice. Broken little lady that got her heart broken. Like, I don't see you like that.
I think that's how they see me, though.
And
that's like a me thing. That's probably a me thing.
I think it's a you thing.
But I was saying, my mom was saying, she was like, you are just the best person to break up with. I'm like, maybe that's why everybody keeps doing it. Honestly, like. She's like, honestly, you're nicer as an ex than you are as a girlfriend. I'm like, wow, that's really sad,
because
but kind of true.
Because I think you like to be civil. Like, you have very lovely relationships with your ex. I have a good relationship with one of my exes, and we still, you know, we'll talk and say, like, happy birthday to each other, Merry Christmas, and we check in with each other sometimes on, like, a random basis. But my other ex, that is more, like, before I started dating your brother... That's the ex I saw today, and that's the one I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I could probably, mm-hmm. you know, never see you again, and it would be fine.
Yeah.
But also, in another aspect, like, when I did see Mike, it's like, okay, should I go say hi to him? Is it right. weirder if I don't say hi? Like, should I wave? Should I just pretend he's not here? Like, all those thoughts go through your head yeah. when you see them, and I'm like, but I know that if it was my other ex, my first boyfriend, I would have 100% gone and say hello yeah. and introduced him and Nate. It wouldn't be awkward at all because we're friends.
Yeah.
But this other ex, it's completely not like that.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is, like, every relationship is unique and distinct from one another. And then yes. every relationship with your ex. And that's what kind of peeves me off when everybody's just, like, if someone's in the ex category, they're like a bad person. And I'm speaking specifically kind of about this, like, toxic, like, girl boss kind of culture we live in where it's like, for example, one of my good friends is currently talking to an ex-partner. And
see, I always am like, no, stop. Don't do that.
Right. But this is what I want to get into.
Yeah.
And I have, as I've said, I've dipped my toe in the ex pool several times. And yes, of course, the general reaction from 98% of my girlfriends or whoever, family, is like, you're stupid. What are you doing? Don't do this. So much of that, of course, comes from being protective, being loving. But I think a lot of the times I take it as kind of like an insult because it's like, do you not think that I'm intelligent or wise enough or strong enough to handle this situation on my own as an adult? Like, if I want to have this conversation with this person for whatever reason, I'm allowed to do that. I don't need to get your permission, and I certainly don't need you to judge me for it because you're probably already judging yourself enough for even talking to an ex. Like, it's not necessarily something that people want to do. It's just sometimes maybe you need a clarification or you...
So...
Whatever.
So,
like,
then is it the easiest thing to do then?
Well, I don't know. It depends. Like... Don't get me wrong, like, almost every time I've done it, it turns out horribly, and I, like, hate myself for it, but I don't beat myself up about it, I guess, because...
Well, you can't.
I just am like, I gave this person, like, my whole heart, my body, my every ounce of me, like, my dreams, my hopes, everything was inputted into this vision I had with this person, and for me, it's just not natural to, like, let that go overnight or to, like, exile someone out of my life cold turkey. That's just how I am. So it takes me a longer time to, like, slowly pull apart from somebody, and a lot of that healing process for me is, like, being friends at least for a minute and just mm-hmm. like still having them in my life but not necessarily in, like, a romantic capacity. And then usually, obviously, as I heal or when you meet new people, you, like, gracefully fall apart. That's kind of what works for me. I can't really do the cold turkey thing. I always just, like, I just can't do it. But for some people, that's the only thing that works.
Yeah.
I feel bad for people sometimes who are like, oh yeah, I'm just, like, kind of, like, going through the same with my ex and we're trying to figure things out, and then it's just, like, immediate judgment. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's a bad idea, or like, ooh, you shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, this person's probably already confused and insecure being in this situation. And instead of just like providing a listening ear or just like keeping an open mind, people will just like descend on you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I do. Yeah. But I think that you have to understand why you broke up in the first place. Like, if you broke up because, like, if I go to Nathan and I say, listen, I think we need to break up because I'm not doing mentally okay right now, mm-hmm. and I need to focus on my mental health, and that's why you break up, then that's fine if you get back together and like.
But people don't care about the reason. I swear, Cece.
Really?
Like,
because that would be my first question. Well, why did you break up?
But people,
because it's different if you like got cheated on, or if you cheated.
Totally
on
agree.
Them,
or like, if they like hit you or something horrible. Yes. Totally agree. But I guess like from my experience, like for example, my friend, and guys, it's not me I'm talking about. I swear, I actually I even
my friend.
I know her and her guy who she's like kind of rekindling things with or whatever. Broke up like very civilly, like it was, and she was just literally like, oh well, like we're young, like let's just probably not, like it wasn't anything bad. Yes, I guess he didn't fight for her, but she didn't necessarily fight for him either, and mm-hmm. they just,
it made sense for them in that situation. Yeah, it sounds like they didn't want to do long distance.
Yeah, yeah, but they've kind of realized in time that there's still feelings there, and maybe they want to actually try, which I think is totally fair and totally normal. And all of her people except for me, because I'm very sympathetic to this stuff, have just been like, forget about it, move on, like he had his chance, screw that. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, is it's like you have to look at the nuance and the, like look at it with a bit of compassion for both parties. And it's so easy for girlfriends to be like, fuck him, like he didn't see how amazing you were. But like human beings are not perfect, like people fuck up all the time, and like mental health plays such a critical role in this stuff. Like at least for most of my exes, like both me and them were like not in a good place when we were dating at all. So part of me like wanting to see them again is genuinely just to like show them that I'm doing okay and like see if they're doing okay. I don't know, like I've seen my friend be very upset over this situation, just truly feeling like ostracized from her friends because mm-hmm. she's just trying to like follow her heart, you know what I mean?
And I mean, like, who am I to say that, you know, that sounds like a fine, like fine to me if there's talking again and whatever, but I mean, like, what does my opinion matter? But to me that sounds fine.
Yeah.
But to like kind of defend, you know, to play devil's advocate here, mm-hmm. she probably told her friend, all the bad stuff.
I do that too.
So of course you do.
I do that all the time.
Of course you're going to have people telling you, you should not get back together with him because of X, Y, Z. You know what I mean? But they don't know all the good stuff because we don't tell our friends the good stuff. We only complain and rant when we have bad things. You know what I mean? So they literally only probably have the assumptions of the bad.
I'm a master of manipulation, though. Like, truly, Cece, like, I literally can turn my friends or family or a total stranger. Like, I can either turn them so against someone or make them cheer someone on, like, just based on what stories I tell, like, what perspective I have. Mm-hmm. I convinced so many people that, like, Robert and I belong together, even after he like fucked me over so many times, just because the way I would talk about him and the way I would paint the story and I would dramatize it. And so much of it, I think, was just like for my own survival, like just to have something to believe in that was better than the shitty reality that I was currently in.
Yeah.
But people would like listen to our story and listen to me talk, and they're like, I hope it works out for you two kids. Like, and it was interesting because like then on the flip side, when I was having a really horrible day and I was going on and on about him, people would be like, you know, fuck him, Sarah. Like, fuck. So it's just...
But they're also probably reading your vibes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I have a very strong energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I've noticed that. It's like I can walk into a room in a good mood and, like, lift people up. Or I can walk into a room in a foul mood and, like, everybody's, like, edgy because of it. So I've just noticed that, like, I can sort of paint whatever narrative that suits me. And other people seem to buy it. So I have no clarity anymore as to, like, what situations are actually good or bad. Because I'm, like... I know if I paint this the right way, so-and-so will be supportive or they won't be supportive, but what do I, it's like kind of what do I want to get out of this? Like, mm-hmm. do I want someone to validate me or do I want someone to give me the hard truth?
Yeah, 100%.
And you just pick and choose, which is how everybody kind of is with situations, but because I'm getting...
You gotta sit in the middle.
I'm getting biased feedback from people, which is causing me to, like, make mistakes.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well... It makes you feel better. I always try to be very honest with you when we have these conversations, but...
But I won't listen, and that's the thing with me. Like,
That's true.
I follow my heart, even to the into hell. Like, I'll follow my heart into hell, and I just have to figure things out for myself. I really appreciate other people's opinions, but, like, if it doesn't match what I'm going to do, then, like,
well, I don't listen. Well, that's why my rule of thumb, like, when people are, like, when my friends or you are venting to me, I'm always like, do you want my advice right now, or do you just want me to listen? Because I'll do whatever you want. I will give you my advice, or I'll just sit here and listen, because people need different things, right?
Also, so. Cece's, like, a psychological queen. Didn't you study psychology in school?
Yeah, I have my degree in behavioral psych.
Yes! So, like, Cece's actually very, very good at discerning these things, like, just so you guys know, like, she's a pro with this stuff, so.
Thanks, Sarah.
Do you think you should ask your current partner or, like, a potential partner a little bit about their exes or what went wrong or what they learned, or do you think it should just be, like, total clear slate? I think this depends on, like, how old you are.
Yes, and your personality. Like, some people I know are like, I don't need to know why you broke up, I don't need to know any of that, let's just focus on us. For me, like, I can only talk about my own experience. And with your brother, I can't even remember, it feels so long ago, like, when we started dating.
He didn't really have a lot of girlfriends
I'm his first girlfriend. Aww. so he had no girlfriends, no, like, actual where he asked a girl to be his lover. Okay. We would talk about, like, who we're seeing and, like, how it's going, because we were just buddies. Like,
you were not just he was in love with you at first sight.
That's
oh my
true.
God, I remember after your first date or whatever, he was just like, yeah, like, marrying this girl. I remember too, like, coming home, because I think I was in Bella. Was I in Belfast?
I think you were somewhere.
I was somewhere. I was being a globetrotter, and I came back for some reason for something, and everyone's like, yeah, like, Nathan and his girlfriend, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't heard anything about you, and it just, like, seemed to happen so quickly, but you guys really built, like, a foundation as friends.
100% we did, because we started talking in October, like I said, then we went on a date in December, and then started dating in
February.
That's
the best way to do it.
It was, and because he lived in a different province, we literally just, all we had to do was talk on FaceTime.
Yeah.
So we got to know each other so well. Like, literally, honestly.
It's actually the same scenario, sort of.
And it's the best, because it just worked out very well, because we didn't, like, I don't know. And nothing sexual happened because he was away, and it was nice.
Me, yeah.
Like, it was just us getting to know each other to our core, and it was lovely.
And you realize that if they're interested in chatting every day and, like, hearing about your day or whatever when they can't see you or touch you or anything, then, like, the interest is clearly very strong, because it's so easy to just, like, get bored of things or move on. And then also, like, when you actually are together, it's just, like, so fun, and you just take advantage of every 100%. Moment, and you just, like, go for it, you know?
Yes, and it was, I really liked us, like, connecting that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then I told him, like, about my other two boys that I dated before him and stuff. But I don't think Nate ever asked. It was always just me being like, this is what happened, just so you know.
Yeah.
This is who they are, like, my first boyfriend and I, like, we're still friends. Like, I still consider him, like, a friend. And if I were to see him, or if he would be in Kingston, then, like, it would be fun to get coffee and stuff. But totally platonic. Like, when we dated, we were friends, you know? Like, one of those relationships.
Yeah, that's, like, I get that.
Yeah, so, and then my other ex that I dated before Nate, we had just broken up, like, in August. And then I started talking to Nate in October. So it was more fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely me not wanting to get in another relationship when I met your brother. Like, I was like, no boys, like, I'm just having a good time, like, mm-hmm. just dating people, and I did not want to get in another serious relationship. But
that's when it happens.
That's when it happens, and that's what exactly that happened. So I don't know,
but I feel like you probably, because you were talking about this girl and you seemed like you felt, like, not guilt, but, like, a little awkward about the scenario. Like, oops, like, stole your man type thing. But
yes.
As Selena Gomez says, the heart wants what it wants.
You
didn't let me finish.
Go ahead.
No,
I cut you off for your singing.
That's the thing. It's, like, I feel like so many people have, like, demonized my exes, which, like, I guess they kind of sucked in some ways. But, like, really none of them ever, I've had, like, five exes, and, like, none of them have ever cheated on me, like, hurt me in any way, like, mm-hmm. put me in any compromising positions. Like, they just truly were not compatible. They were not ready, like, whether it be, like, emotionally or financially or whatever, like, they weren't ready to make a commitment. They weren't, like, old enough to know what they want. It was just circumstantial. And
they helped me get through like really tough parts in my life, especially living overseas. As I said, like I consider them like they were kind of like my family members over there, like who I didn't have to spend every night alone. You know, yeah, I didn't have to take care of myself all the time.
Convenient, it sounds like.
So
like,
I have so much love for them, even though obviously there's like some pain and some awkwardness, but I just truly like, it's funny too, because like I'm very open about how toxic I can be. And like a lot of it, of course, is just like defense mechanisms and stuff. But it's like funny because I feel like, again, we kind of live in this world where like a guy's going to complain about a girl. Oh, we broke up. Blah, blah, blah. And the guys are going to be like, it doesn't matter what she did. Like the guys are just going to support their homie and be like, oh, fuck her. And then it's like the same thing with girls. Like a girl will be like, oh, we broke up. And it doesn't matter what happened. It's like, fuck him because he must be crazy. I'm like, guys, like what would you say if I told you that I'm the crazy one? Like I'm the toxic one. No.
But I think that you also have people in your life that, like, will put you in check.
For sure. And I act more toxic when I'm, like, not getting what I need in a relationship, which is, like, I've realized that. Like, if I was actually in a fulfilling, reciprocal relationship, I probably, like, wouldn't be acting out as much as I do because I'm just, like, trying to feel, like, nurtured or feel understood. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think one day when I'm in the right relationship, hopefully I'll just feel like easy and comfortable and safe and not feel the need to be like on the defensive all the time. But we'll see if that ever happens one day. But I guess what I'm saying is just like without people knowing the full story and the full complexities, it's just so easy to like deem your ex as like a bad person because it didn't work out. But reality, like it's very rare to actually find someone who's your right match. Like more relationships are going to come and go than ones that are going to stay. That doesn't mean that that person's a bad person just because they weren't like your person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's totally appropriate if the circumstances are right for you guys to remain friends or chat once in a while or just like
I think so
be cool.
Too.
Like I don't see what the big deal is. Like if there's a mutual understanding that it's not going to work romantically. I guess if it makes your partner uncomfortable. But yeah, like what we were saying before is like I do think it's just really up to your own discretion if you want to disclose about your exes. Like, I know some people have very, like, traumatic experiences with exes, so I totally understand if they don't want to dive into all of that.
But I don't think it should be a big secret either.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
red flags. If you can't tell me about your ex, I think that's weird.
Yeah, unless it's something like I'm maybe not ready to share that right now because it's, like, still fresh, but, like, we can get into it one day. But I do
at some point, though, I think I'd want to know.
I do think it's a red flag if a person's just, like, really bad-mouthing their ex. Like, they were, like, you know, let's say a guy's, like, she was a fucking crazy bitch. She was, like, a stalker. Like, if a guy's talking about a woman in that way, I'm not, like, feeling bad for him. I'm probably feeling bad for his ex.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I think, like, I'm all about in small doses talking about exes with your new partner with the hope and the ambition that it will improve your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm getting at is what is the bloody point of like going through a failed relationship with someone unless you're going to learn something from it that will benefit you in your next relationship? Like actually, what is the point?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always says, oh, you learn something from every relationship. And it's true, you do. But what good is that going to do unless you share what you've learned and what you want and what you think with the next potential partner?
Yes. And your brother taught me that because I remember the first time we like got into like a potential disagreement, I like completely shut down and was like, I don't want to talk about it with you right now. And in that moment, as it was like falling out, he was like, no, we have to, like, we need to talk about this. He's like, you wouldn't do it in your previous relationships. And that's probably why they ended, because you have all this built up.
Nathan.
I know.
So I taught him everything he knows. You see.
So he was the first one who was like, when we're angry at each other, we need to talk about it. And he's like, it doesn't have to be right this second. Like, we can come back to it in like 10, 15 minutes when we're both not in like an escalated state. But at some point we have to talk about it. So Nate was like the first boy that actually, and I was kind of like, I remember being in the car and this happened and I was like, what? Like, I need to talk about this with you. But he knew that I didn't do that in my previous relationship. So he's like, we're not going down that rabbit hole. Well, we have really bad communication. And now our communication 4 years later is lovely. Like, we have the best communication
for sure
with each other.
And it's so important to, like, establish that at the beginning, as long as you're comfortable. But, like, I think I've maybe gone a little too far where I'm just, like, rattling on about my exes
probably because I'm not fully over them. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, 100% with that.
And you guys, I'm nothing if not honest, even if it paints me in a horrible light.
No, but you're not painted in a horrible light. You're just, like you said, being honest. But
I get called out on it all the time for talking about my exes, like, especially by my mom.
Well, I think that there is, when I say I talk about my exes with Nate, it's usually the things that, like, didn't work out and that the things that I did that I didn't like about that relationship. Like, we would talk about how I literally would do toxic things to my last ex just to get a rise out of them, and he would do the same to me. And I have never, ever once done that with Nathan, because in my head, I'm like, why would I put somebody through that? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
You don't like them,
it's true. It's a different story. But it's true. You're exactly right. I'm like, I think about the things I did to my ex, and I'm like, I would never do that to Nate. Like, not in a million years would I ever treat him the way that I treated my ex. So I'm just like, holy smokes. So that's the conversations we have. I don't think I've ever looked at Nate and been like, hey, this one time with so-and-so, we did this, and it was because, lovely.
Like, it's like disrespectful. Yes, it's so disrespectful. Like, I think with some of these partners, I felt like they had bamboozled me. Like, I was like, one second, we're like just hanging out, like I'm enjoying the attention. And then the next second, we're in like a committed relationship that like I didn't even really want to be in. And like they're talking about like marrying me and all this, and I'm like,
ew.
I'm just like, how did we get here? And I think part of me was just maybe trying to remind myself that I had, I don't know why. It was like, I mean, I romanticize, I'm very nostalgic, that's like the right word. I'm very nostalgic towards my exes.
Yeah, but I think when you find the right person, you will not feel like
I completely that. Agree. I completely agree. And so it was just like, I would always share nostalgic stories about my exes, like with my friends. Okay, this is maybe the best way to explain it.
Okay.
I always sound like such a psycho on this podcast. You know when you're like chatting with your girlfriends and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, this one time with so-and-so, like with these guys I wasn't really that into, I literally felt like they were like my friends, like my girlfriends. Mm-hmm. So I would just talk openly about things that you like don't normally talk to a guy that you're really into. Like and I would talk about all my like unflattering qualities and all this shit because I didn't care, because to me like they were like buds.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but like,
makes sense.
When you're really into somebody, of course you're going to keep like certain things close to your chest and all this. But when you just consider someone like a homie, just like talk about anything. And I wasn't really like thinking about the romantic aspect of it, even though I should have been, but like it just didn't click for me in that way. So I was like, anyway, it's just interesting. It's interesting how I talk about exes a lot with certain people and then I don't with others. And I'm just, I don't know why exactly.
Well, I think you said it already.
It's I guess. But then really why was I with him for so... Like, I just don't understand the human brain or the human heart. Well, because probably it's
easy and you get used to it and it feels nice to be in something stable and then, you know?
Yeah.
And you want to be in a relationship, like...
Do I? I think I just...
Well, you keep getting in one.
Because...
Because
it's like... I'm a sucker, like, I am a sucker for love and for romance.
So there you go.
Always been a hopeless romantic ever since I can remember. Like, literally, all I ever wanted, like, people used to say when they were little, like, I want a great career, I want to be a mom, like, whatever it was, I want to be a superstar. My thing was, like, I want to meet the love of my, like, I want to have a love story for the ages. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to.
So then let me tell you something then. So I think that's why. That you feel like this, like you're asking yourself, why was I even with them? You just answered that question because.
But
you
I want knew that. They weren't that love. Some of them I felt like it was that love story.
That previous relationship you were in, like across the street, like during a global pandemic, like come on, that's quite love story-esque.
Well, yeah, no, this is the thing. I realize this. I'm more interested in the story sometimes than the person.
Yeah, so.
And so many of my, thank you, Nathan.
Yeah.
So many of my stories have just been so extravagant because it's overseas or it's long distance or they're here or they're there. And like, I think that's why I try to keep it alive, because I'm like, no, the story is so fucking good. Like, we need to wrap up this story.
But the true good story will be when you find the love of your life. Like, when you actually are in that relationship.
I just don't see it happening at this point.
Oh, God, it will for sure.
But yeah.
But you have to stop talking about your exes and all the good things with them, because I think it's putting a damper in the relationship.
Well, the thing that sucks is, like, I'm excited about this development in my life, even just for the fact that I think it shows like some maturity on my end, and I'm just like trying to keep an open mind, an open heart. I do believe people should give people the benefit of the doubt, even though it's scary and you could potentially get hurt and you could potentially look like an idiot. Like, it's actually braver a lot of the time to be like, you know what? I am going to give this person a second chance than to just be like, nope. Like, that's the easy way out, is to just be like, screw you. And you could lose a lot of good connections that way if you just cut people off all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just was dampened, I guess. And I think my friend who I was talking about feels the same way. Like, this kind of exciting, interesting situation was very much dampened by people's, like, unfair judgment, I guess. Yes. Getting better.
Yeah. And it
can. Well, also, like, I've learned from my exes, like, I'm at this stage in life now, like, I'm a grown-ass woman. I will be independent in time when I get a job and everything. But I'm like, I know now truly, like, what I'm looking for. Like, if you had asked me a few years ago, like, write down what type of relationship you want, I would have been a bit lost. Like, I think now I really could easily write out, like, 5 things that I know for sure I'm looking for, that I can manifest, that I can... Mm-hmm. And that just truly comes from, like, I thought I wanted this, but I realized with that partner that I didn't want that. Exactly. And I thought... So... And I think I always was so attracted to people who were, like, opposite from me. Like, people who were, like, brooding and mysterious. Or yeah, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've tried everything at this point, but... I'm kind of realizing that really you do need someone who's pretty similar to you, someone who has similar interests, someone who has a similar energy.
You have to have similar values. Yeah. If you don't have similar values and beliefs, then it is not going to work out. In my opinion, again, who the hell am I to say all this? But that is just, like, my firm belief. If you don't have these conversations in your relationship, then, and then it comes out, like, when you're married and you have kids and you can't decide if you want to put your kid in Catholic or public school because you have different beliefs. Yeah. Like, no, I'm just like, yeah, it's not going to work. Like, it's not going
to
work.
And it's like, you have to bend sometimes for a partner, but you shouldn't break for a partner. Like,
it's giving.
I've had, and that's the thing, like, I've had to compromise. I don't know. I feel like with, I resent some of my exes a little bit just because it's like, I kept this thing afloat. Like, I put everything into this and they were truly, like, skating along. Like, I'm, like, tugging the fucking ship and they're, like, sitting in the little dinghy boat, like, just like, ha, enjoying everything, enjoying the sex, enjoying the conversations, enjoying the validation. But I'm putting in, like, all the groundwork in terms of having these hard conversations, facilitating these dialogues, like, trying to be vulnerable, trying to be honest. And that is, like, I think a lot of the reason why I have no regrets with my exes, because I, like, fully gave it 110%. Mm-hmm. So I think it's easier to have, like, a peaceful relationship with your exes. Not even relationship, but just, like, I have, like, a lot of, like, love and, like, almost humor towards my exes. Like, I can crack jokes about them and stuff and, like, look on them fondly. Because I don't have that regret of, like, man, I fucked that up. Or, man, I wish I did that. Because I'm like, yo, Sarah, you tried, girly. Like, you can't say you didn't try. And, like, at the end of the day, it's on them that they maybe weren't ready or they didn't reciprocate. So I think it's, like, harder if you have, like, unfinished business with an ex or you have regrets or you cheated or whatever. Like, I'm sure that's harder. But when you know that you gave it a fair go and both of you just truly believe, like, we tried, high five, well done, like, adios. Yeah. Then it's easier, I think, to have that clean slate.
Well, but I think you can still have that even if you have, like, a shitty breakup. But I think you can only have that when you actually, like, move on with your life. Because I remember when both times I went through a breakup, I wanted to get back together with both of them so badly. Like, it was the end of the world. I do not want my daughter to ever go through a breakup just because of how poorly I dealt with mine. Like, so, so, so poorly. So when I think about that and think about the state, like, I was like a lost puppy when I, when, you know, we broke up both times. It was awful. So when I think about that and, like, think about the states and, like, me wanting to get back together with my exes, even though so much happened and we were, like, not good for each other, like, not even, like, I mean, they're high school relationships, they're just toxic, like, you just hate each other and love each other at the same time, like, so many things are going on, their exes and their friends and your friends, they get along, they don't get along, like, so much happens in high school relationships, But I just remember actually like wanting to die. Like when you go through these breakups. So because of that, yeah, it's so much easier to get so back dark. Together. Yeah, it's so dark.
The
it's
first the darkest cut thing. Is the deepest. Like,
yes.
Cat Stevens said it best, like, the first cut is the deepest. I have never been so depressed as I was my first breakup. Like,
I agree.
3 year, a 3 year depression. Like,
and we can laugh about it now, but like, those 3 years suck. Like,
oh my God, it was awful. Like, I would wake up, like, it felt like a death.
Mm-hmm.
And like, at least for people who break up with someone who's like in the same city or same university, like, you still, yes, it's harder to like bump into them from time to time. Trust me, I get it, but like to never ever see that person again and to be in a completely different continent truly feels like a death, because it's just like you're in my life one day and then I never smell you again, I never touch you again, I never hear you laugh again.
Mm-hmm.
It was like traumatic, honestly.
Yes, and still, it is traumatic.
So it's like, I just like, sometimes I would wonder, did I just make that up? Like, was that just like a dream? Because
yeah.
There's no tangible evidence of them anywhere. Like, mm-hmm. The first cut, like, if you're going through maybe your first real heartbreak right now or something and you're just a fucking mess, like, we see you, we hear you.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you will survive it.
And it will suck. Like, it is the worst thing ever.
But it's rough. It's really rough.
It's so rough. And I tell this to Nate all the time because I'm like, you never went through a breakup. Like, I'm your first girlfriend. You will never, hopefully, have to feel the wrath of a breakup.
I know.
I said, it sucks. Like, you actually want to die, and it's awful. And if nobody has ever had a breakup like that, it just, like, blows my mind. But even all my girlfriends and my guy friends, like, they've all been in these situations where you go through a terrible, terrible breakup. So it gives me, like, a different perspective when people are, like, talking to their ex again. Being in that point of view and wanting to get back together with an ex, it makes sense to me. But then being on the flip side of that and seeing your friend go back to an ex when you know how heartbroken they were and you know it might happen again if it doesn't work out, and then they have to go back to how they were, then you're like, ah. So maybe that's how your friends,
oh, for sure,
her friends are seeing it.
But like, she wasn't really even that heartbroken. Like, they ended things, like, very casually.
That's
and it was
good.
Just like, hey, like, thanks for the fun times.
Can't
and
relate.
And now she's just, like, they were by no means, like, a Sarah and Robert disaster. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, I can so see if I was like, hey, guys, like, I want to get back. Like, I can see why people would be like, do not do that. Because mm-hmm. I was, like, the Grim Reaper for 3 years. But it's, like, I don't know. Sometimes, it's, like, who cares if you have a little bit of sex with your ex from time to time or whatever? It's like familiar dick. Like, you know what each other likes. Like, you know what the red flags are. It's like,
but you both have to be on the same page.
Totally.
And
totally.
But how rare is that? That you're both on the exact same page?
Very rare. And it's very circumstantial because it's like the minute somebody finds a new partner, it's like sayonara.
Yeah.
But if for some reason, you know, you're both single, you're in the same place or whatever, and like you want to bump uglies a few times, it's very hard for one person not to get their hopes up or fall back into it. But, like, I can see, I guess what I'm saying is I can see the allure in that situation, especially because you're familiar with them and you mm-hmm. have memories.
And
I don't think it's that horrible. Like, it's human. It doesn't have to be a huge deal. Like, you can just look at it like another,
it's very much
a learning experience or whatever. It's very situational.
Yeah.
But just, like, I think when people, I guess the moral of the story for me in this episode is, like, coming from someone who has tiptoed back into the ex pool a few times, I'm already judging myself vehemently. Like, I'm already, like, questioning why I'm doing this and, like, questioning my self-worth and, like, wishing I was stronger. So it just, like, it doesn't really help sometimes when people just add on to that.
Yeah, which is why I would ask, if, do you want my advice or do
which
you just want me to listen?
I totally get why people are like, girl, no, la, la, la. Like, I get it. But sometimes I just need someone to be like, you know, whatever happens, you'll survive. And I really, you know, hope that it works out the way it's supposed to. Like, even just these platitudes that really don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
But just like these, do you know what I'm saying? Instead of taking a defensive stance one way or the other, just being like, you know, like, I trust you. I trust your judgment. And I'm here if you need me. Like, just saying something like that where you're not like condoning it, but you're also not adamantly against it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably just the best way to go, because I've like friendships and sisterships and stuff can literally be torn apart because of men, I swear. Like,
yeah,
because it's not right, but sometimes women or men will choose their partners like over their friends or family if mm-hmm. they're like really dickmatized. So just like tread carefully, I guess.
Yes.
Tread carefully.
But I always try to remind people that it's coming from a good place. Like when your family or your friends are saying, hey, maybe we should not do that and we should try this. Or if Nate and I broke up, I definitely would get back together with him.
Well, exactly. And so like if Nate, like, so it's just hypocrite. Like if I, me of all people, were to be like, CeCe, like you really like shouldn't do that. Like exes are a no-go. You would be like, bitch, shut the fuck up.
Well,
like,
because you're your own person, right? And here's the other thing too. No matter what you tell your friends or your family or whoever, you are the only person that knows exactly what happened between you and your ex or you and your partner. You are the only one that knows. So it's your judgment call and people can judge you for it, but like, you shouldn't really care, is what I'm trying to say.
And like,
and of course you will, because you're human and everybody cares what everybody thinks about you. But I don't know. I think, yeah, you're the only one that knows what truly happened between you. So if you're thinking that, you know what, based on what happened, I think I can date this person
and
again.
And trust yourself. Yeah. Like, totally. Like, CeCe's right. Like, trust yourself. Like, you know what? I don't have to go into this the same way I did 3 years ago or whatever it may be. Like, I've grown, I've learned, I'm a different person, and I'm going to go into this being the woman I am today. And, like, I'm not going to let that, whatever it be, I'm not going to let them manipulate me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And give yourself, like, a pep talk beforehand, but also just, like,
trust your gut.
Trust your gut, and don't be too hard on yourself. Like, if you accidentally hook up with an ex when you're drunk or something, it's not the end of the world. Like, everybody does it. And just be confident. Like, I think confidence is key, right? Like, you don't just say, like, literally say nothing, but be so confident. Be like, oh my God, you're talking to your ex again? Yep. And then they'll be like, instead of being like, I don't know, what do you guys think? Like, am I crazy? La la la, which is what I do. Like, that's giving them the ability to, like, start planting seeds of doubt. If you're literally just like, we are all good. Like, don't really want to talk about it.
It is situational.
You have to own your decisions, is what I'm saying. Like, if you're confident in your decision and it's a safe, healthy decision for you, if your ex was like a fucking psycho, violent person, do not get back together with them. But I've kind of come to a place in some of my situations where I'm like, I've heard everyone's opinions. I've heard it all. I've gone through all, and this is what I feel comfortable doing. And then just own it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people will either come around or they won't. But, like, you can't get everyone's approval or else you'll drive yourself crazy.
No, but that can be, like, across the board
exactly.
for everything.
Totally.
Like, even if you are in a happy-go-lucky relationship. Like, I'm sure people judge Nathan and I's relationship or, like,
they're jealous.
Hey, that's what I think, too. But you know what I mean? So even if you are in a happy relationship, people are just going to judge you anyways.
I'm not thinking necessarily about, like, toxic, violent...
Yes.
Obviously, like, you're so right. Like, I should give a very large disclaimer that, like, if your situation... Because, like I said, I've always had, like, pretty healthy, normal... I wouldn't say... Yeah, like, healthy, normal, civil relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It depends. And I did get back together with my first boyfriend when we broke up. And then we got back together again, like, I don't even know, like, a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
But thank goodness you still have those people on your side that are like, no, this doesn't work. And again, it just came back to... We didn't get along with each other's friends. We didn't have the same values, like, just in life in general. So, like, we just were not a good match. He was a great guy and everything, but we just did not match.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense for my friends and my family to tell me that.
Totally. And, like, I'm not saying that it's, like, you should get back together if a guy comes crawling back. In fact, you probably shouldn't. But you should enjoy...
Dip your toe in that.
No, you shouldn't even do that necessarily. You should enjoy the validation, the vindication... of, like, let's say after a workout, like, or after a breakup, you've been, like, working out, you've been working on yourself, you've been meditating, you're, like, a bomb-ass version of yourself, and some guy who took you for granted comes crawling back. Like, to me, it's not even about him, it's about you in that moment. Like, you...
And the validation, you think, that you get from that?
It's not even that I want to get back together with them. Like, I just don't want to ever have a guy, like... break me, because that happened once with my first boyfriend. He broke me.
Mm-hmm.
And just since then, like, I just keep glowing up after breakups and just keep getting, like, better and stronger and happier. So I think it's just, like, a reinforcement of me bettering myself, like, when a guy's... I don't even know. Like, I don't know. I think it just, like, maybe I'm just, like, an egotistical lady, but I'm, like, I think most girls, even if it doesn't go anywhere, like, kind of enjoy... the validation of like an ex or an old high school fling or something being like, hey, you look really good. Like,
yeah.
La, la, la. Like, well, even if it doesn't go anywhere, it's still kind of like a pat on the back, like an ego boost, right? Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, it's like a psycho, sadistic ex, then he's probably trying to kill you. Like, don't go for that.
We're just talking about us.
I'm just, yeah,
like you know, just, we're playing on our situations and our relationships.
I know
and our
for
exes.
Me, like after every breakup, I'm literally checking my watch every 5 minutes, like when are they coming crawling back? And they never do, but I'm still checking. I'm like, okay, it's been 10 years, but they still might come back.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. It's just me thinking in my own little fantasy movie world, like the guy always comes back in the movie, you know?
That's true. But, that's true, you're right.
You know, they do. The ex always comes back in the movie with some sort of, I messed up, blah, blah, blah. But the girl's already moved on with a happier guy.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
So I'm not saying get back together with that dude, but you can definitely take that moment to be like, well, I told you so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, thank you, Cece, for that passionate conversation.
I know, oh my gosh.
I've really exposed all my toxicity in this episode for you guys to enjoy. Please don't judge me. I'm being very honest and vulnerable. I don't really care. I'm working on it, guys. I'm doing my therapy, doing my meditation.
You're great.
I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. It doesn't mean I'm...
At least you're honest.
I don't know. Like, I think I'm a good person overall, and I think I'm a good girlfriend overall. It's just, I just keep dating.
You are a lovely girlfriend. That's why sometimes when I listen to your podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, Sarah, you sound a little cray-cray sometimes with how you talk about yourself, but you're so not like that. Really.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like how you describe, like, I don't know. I feel like you tell the podcast all of, like, your negative traits, like, about yourself, and I'm like, what the heck? You're not like this.
Well, I'm not gonna, like, brag about all my good traits. Like, that's weird.
I don't think that's weird.
I don't know. I don't want... People my whole life have told me I'm conceited. So I think now I just, like, talk shit about myself.
Yeah, you're playing on it because that's what you've been told your whole life. But
well, I definitely don't
think
very highly of myself anymore. I think I used to, and now I'm just not in the best state of mind. Like, I'm just not very happy with myself and, like, where I am in life and, like, who I am. So we're working on that. But, yeah, it probably does trickle out to the podcast a bit. I think I just try to, like, tear myself down before someone else can do it, maybe. Or, like, pick out flaws in myself before someone else can get to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, so much worse hearing it from somebody else.
But I think it's, like, you think people think this about you, so you speak it out loud.
But I've heard this from people, so clearly some people think this stuff about me.
But I think you're right that you're trying to put it out there before you can hear it from somebody else.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, no, that's really not who you are. So it's funny, like, to listen to the podcast sometimes,
know.
And I'm like, what? Why do you think like this about yourself?
Well, it's definitely part of it. It's like an alter ego. Like, sometimes I put on this, like, sassy, like, crazy bitch alter ego. Like, I think that's not fully, like, I'm definitely a big softie deep down,
mm-hmm,
but
100%.
I have this, like, sharp, sassy side that I just, like, play around with, especially on the podcast or whatever, but I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know what it is. It's very, like, weird exposing yourself every week, and I guess I just, like, try to be honest about things that I've, like, toxic or negative things about myself that I'm willing to talk about and dissect, because so many other people out there are, like, so shy or, like, I'm just such an open book, and I don't really mind being an open book as long as it's going to help someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to openly talk about these things that I do and why I do them, then maybe it'll resonate with someone and, like, they can come to terms with that, even if they're not willing to talk about it, if that makes sense. So, like, I guess I just feel like the guinea pig sometimes. Like, I'll put myself on display and, like, talk about all my crap as long as it's resonating with some people, which I think it probably does. It's just I'm willing to talk about this stuff and a lot of people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very, like, vulnerable, I think, sometimes. So I appreciate you saying that. And, like, Amanda sometimes compliments me or whatever, like, reins it in, because I think sometimes Amanda's like, guys, she's actually a really nice person.
Well, that's what I mean, like, when you say some things, I'm like, why do you talk like that about yourself? But
I don't know, I just, life is just
You gotta talk about your good traits too, not just like...
I don't think I have that many good traits.
Oh, stop that. Shut the front door. Seriously. You do. Of course you do. Everybody has lovely traits about themselves.
Yeah. Like, obviously there's things I like about myself, but I think I used to be, like a few years ago, I think I used to be a lot like happier and more like optimistic with myself. Think like COVID and just like being stuck in one place and like being in the wrong relationship for so long, like just really made me lose myself. So in a process, I think, of trying to come back to that old Sarah that's just like confident and carefree, but also trying to bring some of my new wisdom into it. And like,
well, you can be aware of like, per se, your negative traits, in quotation marks, negative, but you know what I mean? But I don't know.
Like, I just don't know why people aren't more honest. Like,
oh, you can be
every
honest.
Girl, like, not every girl, but like every single one of my friends can be a crazy toxic bitch sometimes.
Oh, 100%.
They play mind games, they manipulate, they do this, they do that, but none of them will admit it. And I just admit it, but because I'm like the only girl out of 12 that will admit it, I seem crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I've seen all of your texts to these guys. Like, I know you're all doing the same shit I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. No, I will agree with you that girls can be crazy. I know I have a crazy side. My mom knows I have a crazy side. I think all my friends know, and Nate 100% knows it.
Every girl does.
Oh, yeah. You just have that side of you. Sometimes that comes out. But it's not a constant.
No, I know. And it's not all that I am. And I think hopefully the listeners have heard enough of the episodes of me hopefully being like maybe more positive or more open. Like, I don't know. I feel like I try to bring things around to a positive note most of the time and like try to encourage people most of the time. So I think hopefully they've seen my multitude of sides. I don't know. It is what it is.
We're going to do really a podcast where we just talk about our positive traits and tuning into your energy. We'll talk about all of everybody's
positive traits. I'll say one thing I like about myself.
There you go. That's how we'll end it. One thing you like.
I think I'm very brave.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
I, like, do things that a lot of people wouldn't do, even though sometimes it hurts me or sometimes it doesn't work out how I want it. I'm not afraid to take chances and, like, literally just try anything and, like, follow my heart, even if people think it's crazy. And my life has been truly so fascinating and so diverse because of the fact that I'm, like, pretty fearless with this stuff. So I do like that about myself, and even being on this podcast every week and talking about this stuff is brave, you know. So I do think that's brave.
And so there you go, your listeners, anybody listening out there tonight or this morning, whenever you're listening to this podcast, think about one positive thing about yourself
and one negative thing about your ex.
No, positive.
And while you're at it, you can write us a positive review, 5-star rating. Amanda is doing, hopefully next time she's back, she'll read a review. But we're running very low, so we need more reviews. And please share this podcast with a friend. Or if you're one of CeCe's friends, then you can share with another friend. Be like, hey, check out CeCe on this awesome podcast with this random girl who's like super awesome and not negative at all.
No, has lots of positive
traits. Okay, that's it. Follow us on Instagram. Follow CeCe at CeCe Blundell with two I's in CeCe.
Yeah.
And then me, you guys know me, Sarah Birch. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.